Hello, welcome to the Thursday, May 5th, 2016 edition of the Sands and Storms and Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from San Diego, California. Malwarebytes is reporting about malicious advertising or malvertisings being placed on various CBS-affiliated TV stations' websites using the self-serve ad platform Tagify. Interestingly, the ads themselves are hosted on a Park GoDaddy domain. Certain subdomains were then used to inject the ads into the websites. To make detection more difficult, the malicious ads were only sent to particular users based on user agent, for example. So standard spiders and such didn't see the malicious ads. Also, once a user was exposed based on IP address and such, then the same IP address, for example, was not sent the same malicious ad, at least for a while. This makes it fairly difficult for someone to actually detect that malicious ads are being shown. Now, the Malwarebytes did notify GoDaddy of these parked domains and also let Tagify know how their service was abused. In this particular case, the malvertising did use the Angler exploit kit in order to plant additional malware on victim PCs. And yesterday I mentioned the vulnerability in Image Magic. Have a brief update on that. There is now a proof of concept exploit available. Also, this particular vulnerability has gotten a nickname, Image Tragic. It is certainly an important vulnerability that you should patch as soon as a patch is becoming available. And remember, you can mitigate some of the problem using the configuration file for Image Magic. And there are continuous reports of fake DDoS threats. Late last year, we had like the Amada Collective, Lizard Squad, and so actually launching DDoS attacks. Now, other hacker groups are using these names, Armada Collective and Lizard Squad, in order to ask companies to come up with about $1,000 or so to avoid being DDoSed. But apparently, these new groups don't have the actual capability to launch DDoS attacks. So even if you don't pay, you will not be attacked. Overall, of course, it's always a bad idea to give in to these kind of threats. Usually just leads to more threats in the future, but in this particular case you don't really have to worry because the threats will not materialize even if you don't pay. And Cisco released a number of patches today. Probably the most important one here affects Cisco's telepresence applications. In this case, an XML API can be abused to change the configuration of these devices without authentication. All it takes is a crafted HTTP request. So this is certainly something that you should probably patch quickly. You can turn off this particular XML API, but if you do so, then you also are no longer able to manage these devices using the telepresent management suite. So maybe as a quick fix until you get around to apply the patch, this may be an option, but applying the patch is the only sort of real fix that you can apply in this case. And the ability to retrieve node passwords for PeopleSoft from PS tokens has been added to OCL Hashcat. OCL Hashcat is a fast GPU-based hash engine, and with it, you can now test 4.3 billion hashes per second on a single node. This makes it very important that you are reviewing your PeopleSoft deployments. Are they reachable from the outside, from the public internet? Are you actually using the single sign-on part? And at the very least, if you're doing so, you should pick the strongest possible password. The paper describing this recent improvement to OCL Hashcat notes that many PeopleSoft implementations still use the default node password or weak node passwords. Once an attacker has a hold of your node password, they can essentially authenticate any arbitrary user. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow.